Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to the smallest of the four Gospels, the Gospel of Luke and chapter 5. I'm sorry, Gospel of Mark, not the smallest. Mark and chapter 5. And I trust today is going to be a day that God is going to be able to bless. I was reminded just before I came, the choir came up, that my tie was off-centered again. So I got this ongoing thing. Here's the deal. I lost a little bit of weight in the last few years. I still got the same white shirts for the most part, and the collars are a little bit big, and as I move around, my collar loosens up, and my tie moves off center. It always goes to the right. That was pointed out this morning. I said, that's good. Always goes, but right now I think I'm balanced. I think I'm right here, right in the center, and as I preach, it'll probably move to the right. Now I'll have some of your attention for the rest of this message. And the reason, I shared a week ago, the reason I do not have white shirts that fit me on the way back from Rochester Hills. Remember the story? My wife would stop at Kohl's, get some white shirts, no white shirts. I bought some khaki pants instead, spent a little over $100. My wife was a little upset with me. We're driving north on I-75, and she's kind of in my ear a little bit about spending all that money. I had a good love offering. I mean, you know, and a little bit of silence, and I looked over and said, but Debbie, when you think about it, I'm worth it. And we all started to laugh, and I diffused the whole thing, and, you know, I had the upper hand once again. This last week, my gas card was missing, and I'm looking for my gas card in my wallet, and my wife has the gas card. And she said she filled up the tank in her, you know, I can't remember what she spent, $59 or something. She spent filling up her gas tank, and she handed me the card while we're going down the road and said, but, you know, when you think about it, I'm worth it. So it all comes back sooner or later, doesn't it? Mark in chapter 5. Jesus in chapter 4 just got through calming the storm. That's not my message, but that's the background to this message. The disciples were in the boat with him. They thought they were going to drown. Jesus was asleep in the boat, on a pillow, the scripture says. They wake him up. He stands up and basically he rebukes the weather. He rebukes the storm. And he says, peace, be still. And the water goes whoop, and it's done. He uses the same language in his language, the same words of telling a dog to get down. And he shows again his deity. In my mind, I have no problem taking myself back and wondering how it might have been and how the waves were coming over the sides of the ship and the front of the ship and the back of the ship, and they're just about to go under, and Jesus, where are you? And he stands up and says, get down. And everything goes, whoom, all the waves are done. And all you can hear is water dripping from the sails or from the masts and from the disciples. And they're looking around at one another like, what just happened? Deity, the Son of God. Amen. From there, we go to Mark in chapter 5. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. That's the Golan Heights today. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Let me pray again real quickly. Father, would you bless this morning? God in heaven, would you take over in this service? I've got five points. It doesn't matter if I only preach one. Lord, would you just take over and speak to us and give to us what we need this day? In Jesus' name, amen. My father's journey on this earth is done. He went home Wednesday morning. And I'm glad for that. I'll share with you what I only shared with three other people this week. Wednesday morning in my prayer time, early, before 6 o'clock, I prayed, Father, if it's your will that Dad goes home, he doesn't want to just hang around. I'm okay if you take him. But I want him here. Yeah. And I got the phone call just after 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning. He'd gotten up and gotten dressed for the day, and he made his trip home. My God is good. You've got to know this. God has not left us alone. We that are still alive in the journey and the pilgrimage of life, he's given to us a roadmap, a compass, an anchor to hold us strong to the truth in the storms of life. We are anchored here at Fundamental Baptist Church in the Word of God. It's about Bible preaching and Bible teaching and Bible living and Bible giving. And it's in that Bible that we learn about Jesus Christ. So there we are anchored. The book is about Christ. I promise you, if you come to the funeral service on Thursday, you're going to experience just a little bit of heaven. Bud is going to try to be here by way of Zoom, the Zoom call. We're going to try to do the best we can at honoring our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I trust that people will be saved. And I covet your prayers concerning that. A lot of people in this area knew that 84-year-old man named Floyd Rader, named Tim Rader. A lot of people knew him. And I'm trusting, I'm praying there'll be a soul harvest. And if that harvest is one soul, that's good with me. If it's 100 souls, that's good with me as well. So you pray concerning that. But life is filled with problems, ill health, ill-tempered people, financial adversity, things that don't work, things that don't fit, things that wear out. There's not enough time, not enough ability. Life is filled with problems. And I find in Mark in chapter 5, the answer to every problem of life. Now, you and I both know, I'm preaching to the choir, it is about Jesus. But he goes through in his ministry, 5 problems of life. And the answers are here, right, in Mark and chapter 5. And these are problems that we all face. Number one, there's a sin problem. We know that. The maniac running through the tombs is a tremendous picture of the sin problem in America today. I shared in Sunday school this morning. I want to share it right now because you're not hearing about it in the media, but it's there. The first gospel preaching pastor was arrested in Canada. I believe it was Thursday morning. It's Pastor Coates in Edmonton, Canada. They put him in handcuffs and ankle chains and brought him to jail. His crime was holding a church service with 300 people in it. And he's not allowed to see his family. They told him if he would agree to not holding church, they would release him. He's still in jail. You say, well, we're not Canada. No, we're about a yard, maybe a foot behind them. Now, that's the way of the world. That, apart from God returning, Jesus returning, it's going to happen here. I'm not trying to just throw a wet blanket on everything. I'm telling you, these are the last days. It's for real. You might want to wake up and smell the coffee and make Jesus part of the plans of your life. In this life, you're going to have all kinds of problems. Verse 1 says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea and the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, and not with chains. He was demon-possessed. He had supernatural strength. For this first point, I got to read 17 verses. Promise me you'll not be distracted. Look at what the Word of God says. It says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was a madman. And man's answers don't answer those questions. Verse 5 says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. They could hear him there. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. I got to say this, even the demons of hell, they know who Jesus is. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. That you don't come, another gospel says, you haven't come ahead of time to cast us into the pit, into the abyss. They know that's their future. And he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. A Roman legion is 6,826 men. I don't know if the demon was speaking figuratively or speaking with exact number. 6,286 demons were possessing this man. Verse 10 says, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. Jesus gave them leave. Like to say, you're dismissed. absolute deity. Absolute God. In absolute control, even of the demons of darkness. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. 2,000 hogs, spooked by this demonic presence, stampeded down into the Sea of Galilee and were drowned. Where the demons went after that, we don't know. Verse 15. Verse 14 says, and they that fed the swine fled and told it to the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. This is not my sermon, but it's a little piece of it. And had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. All of a sudden, this was a new man. In 1969, my dad became a new man. In 1969, he was born into the family of God. And that decision changed his life and eternity and my life and the eternity of myself and many other people changed them forever. He was a new man. This maniac that was in the tombs with no hope, a hopeless situation, everyone was afraid of him. Now he was in his right mind. And notice it says he was clothed. There's something about the fallen nature of man that wants to take his clothes off. No shame before God. No understanding of holiness. In the garden, when Adam and Eve stood before the presence of God, they had animal skins on. A lamb, an animal, had to die for the very first time. And here we are in the 21st century, and just like in the 1970s, and just like in the 1960s, people are trying to take their clothes off. Even children of God. I'm just saying, and I'm not preaching something, I'm not speaking, I am telling you this. Specifically, the word is modesty. I do remember what the lady said. You can look it up. You can look it up. Don't disbelieve it because I'm saying it. The lady from France that first came out with the idea of the miniskirt. And her answer to Time magazine was what, you know, am I the only woman that doesn't want to go to bed in the middle of the afternoon? And America and everybody just fell in line. They just kind of, I'll say this, there's a little timeout. All right, little Pastor Raider thing. Leggings are not meant to be worn alone. Amen. All right? You might just well wear pantyhose and just walk around. And maybe you think, well, it's faddish and that's what everybody else is doing. And I'm telling you, that's not what every man in the world is thinking. Modesty. You know what's modest? I know what's modest. Don't you say, well, I have the right. I correct you on that. You don't have a right. You don't. You have the ability to make a wrong decision. But you yourself, if you're saved, you're bought with a price. And you are not your own. Amen. So you don't have that right. Nor do I have that right. You have the ability to go against the Holy Spirit of God and make a wrong decision. There's a sin problem. It's all around us. It's all over us. The answer, of course, is Jesus. This maniac, he found that out. Let me go on reading here and get through verse 17. Verse 15 says that the people from the city, they were afraid. Man, this guy isn't, what happened to him? And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They wanted him out of there. But you had to run from the devil as well as those hogs did, as well as that maniac did, instead of running to him. You had to run from the presence of darkness. You had to run from bars and casinos and places of immorality. You ought to run from that music that feeds your flesh and not strengthens your spirit. You ought to get away from that as a child of God. There is a sin problem. Paul said in the last days, perilous days would come. And that's because there's more and more darkness and less light. We're called of God to be that light. This man met Jesus, the maniac. He used to think evil no more. Look at verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had great compassion on thee. He said, go home. The maniac said, I want to travel with you, Jesus. Jesus said, you go home. There are people that are lost in your household. They won't believe the difference in your life. Our life is a mission. Our life, when you get born again, is a mandate. We're to go to our people, the people of our lives, the people of our little sphere, our little world, and we're to show them the difference that Jesus makes in our life. Very important. Very important we understand that that is our mission in life. So there were problems in his home, you know that. Can you just imagine? Just let your sanctified imagination take over for just a little bit. The maniac. Everybody in the city was afraid of him. Supernatural strength. They'd hear him crying and yelling in the mountains and in the cemetery and in the tombs, throughout the tombs in the night. They'd break the chains where they tried to fetter him, and he just supernaturally break them off. And he's possessed by legion, and everybody's afraid of him, and he's naked, and he's running. He's a wild man. He's a madman. And you know his family was afraid of him. And perhaps his wife, sanctified imagination. But this has been lived out many times over the years. Looks down the sidewalk and sees her husband coming, and she says, "Quick, run to all of her children. Daddy's coming." And they all run off to different parts of the house, and they scurry into corners and hiding under beds because the madman's coming home. Maybe he's in a drunk. He's ill-tempered. And she looks a little closer and says, "Wait a minute. That might not be your dad. His hair is combed. He's all cleaned up. I can hear him singing. He's fully clothed. Children, come on out. It is your daddy. He's a changed man. He's a new man because of Jesus. There's a problem in this world. We got to get the gospel to them. We got to tell them that Jesus makes all the difference in life. And the answer to all of their questions and answer to all their problems will never be found in riches and never be found in academia and never be found in position and personality, but only in Jesus Christ. He can fix that sin problem. He can change that home. If you'll allow me, let me allude to my dad one more time this morning. Had he not got saved in 1969, and I want you to know he wasn't a perfect man, but he did get changed. And I was the oldest boy in the family, and I saw it. No more was there Ham's beer at our home. In my whole growing up, it was always there. It was part of supper. Man, it was always in the fridge. I was in seventh grade, and I was already chug-a-lugging. You know, I was following my dad. And, but he got born again, and it was gone. It was gone. I can remember stealing beer. He'd always have a six-pack in the truck. I could get what I wanted to get as a little boy. You say, "A little boy?" Yeah, and I already liked it. What would have happened if Dad had not gotten saved? And the Tampa Cubs, the cigars, they were gone too. And his life was changed. He wasn't perfect. I'm so glad he got born again. I'm so glad that he's in heaven right now. Jesus will fix the home. I can remember growing up and seeing my mom and dad fight. Man, I'm talking about fifth grade, third grade, parties on Friday night, you know, and I can remember all of that is so vivid, and what a change. What a change. That Baptist preacher from that little country church knocked on his door and told him about Jesus. Afterwards, the preacher said, "You know, I didn't think your dad meant it when he prayed. He sounded so matter of fact. But that was just the way my dad was." What a change. He's in heaven right now. He's blessed me. He's still blessing me. There's sticky rolls on my desk in there. You know why that is? Because of my dad. You know, he went home to heaven this Wednesday, and some people, they've been baking for me all week. God bless you people. Thanks, Dad. Again, you just, the last thing that we did in the Sioux together, we went up to the Sioux. All my life, I borrowed money from my parents. And he said, "Hey, stop at McDonald's." My dad was a McDonald's freak. And he'd gotten out of the house, and we're going through the drive-thru. And he said, "Get what you want." I said, "Okay, all right." And so I ordered what I want. He ordered what he wanted. And I thought, man, you know what? I might as well have a quarter pounder. You know, so I'm with my dad, you know, so I want to cherish these times. And we're just about to get to the window. He says, "Oh, I don't have my wallet with me. You can catch this, can't you?" I said, the last thing he did was get me with a zinger like that. But I owe him a whole lot more than that. The problems of sin, the problems of the home. How about the problem of poverty? Skip all the way down to verse 21. It says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death." I guess I would pray greatly as well. "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." You see, Christ equals life. "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Can you imagine that? They're just pressing on Jesus, and you know, just a mob, just a crowd. He's trying to make his way through. "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, You say, I got issues. This applies to you. And had suffered many things of many physicians. You maybe had that happen as well. Had spent all that she had. You may have that had that happen as well. And was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. The problem of not enough money. In fact, this widow lady, this woman of poverty, she spent everything she had. Still no answers. And she pressed through the crowd and touched the outer garment of Jesus. Read on. By the way, before I leave this, that problem of poverty is not a problem with God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. If you put Jesus first in your life, if you'll tithe the way you're supposed to tithe, if you'll give above and beyond the tithe, because that's just the beginning, you give above and beyond your tithe, God is going to bless you. There's a man sitting in the auditorium. I preached on giving about 3 weeks ago. He put a big check in the plate. I won't name him because it would be embarrassing to him. He came to me that Wednesday night and said, Pastor, here's the amount I put in the plate. He told me, and he said, I got a check on Monday that I didn't have. I had no idea was coming that was that covered that exact amount of money. He said, I want you to know God takes care of us. Yeah. You know, the Bible is true. Amen. You don't need a lot of money to have the joy of the Lord. You don't need a lot of money to have your needs met. You don't need a lot of money to become a channel that God will use you to meet the needs of other people. You don't need a lot of money to have the joy of the Lord. Amen. He'll take care of that poverty thing. The widow's mite, that's all he requires. A little bit of faithfulness. And poverty is not a problem at all. Look at verse 27. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, from behind, and touched his garment. All she did was touch him. That's all she did. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue, or dunamis is the word there, power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? That's amazing. And the disciples thought it was amazing too. Everybody's touching him. He's working his way through a crowd. Everybody's touching him. Oh, Rabbi, oh, Master, and worshiping him. And somebody touches him that needs healing. And he stops and says, who touched me? She's terrified. She's afraid. Maybe she's done something wrong. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, she didn't ask permission, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Don't be afraid of coming to Christ with your health issues. He wants you to. He wants you. It might be that that sickness is given you to the glory of God, for the glory of God. Well, that is true either way. Sometimes it's a result of personal sin, God getting our attention. Sometimes it's just flat out the will, the perfect will of God. And he loves to hear those kind of prayers. And he'll hear you. He'll hear you. Verse 35, the problem of death. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? There will always be those that will say it's too late. Not even God can help you now. Your daughter is dead. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, to the man in need, oh, these had to be beautiful words. Be not afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the inner circle, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed bitterly. That's a typical non-Christian funeral. There's nothing wrong with tears. That's legit. Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. But have you been to a funeral where there's no gospel witness? Have you been to a funeral of a person that never professed faith in Christ? And maybe it's just a ritual religion. I've been to some of those. Wailing is not the right word. I've been there where they wail. I mean, it sends chills up and down your spine. People scream. The casket's being taken out of the church, and they jump on the casket and they're hugging the casket. You know what that is? No hope. That's a Christless religion. Man, it's just the opposite with Jesus. You'll see tears on Thursday, but there'll be tears of joy. We'll be rejoicing because Dad's in heaven. Man, that's all the difference in the world. And there's some here this morning. I know it's true. I know in the hundreds of people that are here. I know it's true. Some of you, all you got is a dead, lifeless religion. You got something because Dad had something. And you have no walk with God, no personal relationship. You got to get serious about serving God. You need to get serious about this book and loving this book. And like the old evangelist, I remember Evangelist Curtis, he would kiss his Bible. The pages of his Bible were yellowed with his tear stains. Man, I was so amazed at that old man when I went to his house and he opened his Bible and the pages were yellow. And it isn't because the Bible was 25 years old. They were tear stains is what they were. He loved the book. Man, that's the way we got to get. We got to get it. We got to be about the Word of God. I said in Sunday school, you'll probably see it by next Sunday. Lord willing, I'm praying it's here before Thursday. Why don't you pray with me on that? I'll go out on the limb, show a little faith here. We ordered a picture of an open Bible that is 5 or 6 feet long. It's 5 panels. It's the most beautiful Bible you ever saw. It's open. It's going to be in the foyer. I want a message given to everybody that comes in the church. I'd love to have it there for the funeral. God's will be done, but we're praying for it. And it's well inside the time the company said it'd be here, so it would take a miracle. But the pages of the Bible are open. The Bible is aglow, and it's simply Psalm 119, 103. I think it's 103. Thy word is sweeter than honey. It's a beautiful passage. I want people to come in here to realize, hey, they walk in, there's the auditorium. This place is about the Bible. Look at that. Over there, enter thou, over the door, enter thou into thy courts with thankfulness. Oh, it's about worship. The Bible and worship. Sit in the service and get ready to leave. It says, he that winneth souls is wise. Man, it's about evangelism. That's who we are. And it's time all of us got plugged into the book. It is. The problem of death has been handled. Let me read on and I'll finish this message. Verse 39. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. And these that were weeping and wailing, now they laugh. And they laugh him to scorn, like he's the madman. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered into where the damsel was lying. She's a corpse. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai. That's Aramaic, the Aramaic of the region, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And her eyes open up. Takes her by the hand. She gets up. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Underline that. That is a great understatement. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. You say, well, what's that about? Because the time of his revelation and his passion, the time of him being revealed as the King of Israel and Calvary was not yet to be known. And he commanded, this is interesting to me, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Give the girl something to eat. She just came back from a great journey. She has new life. All the problems of life, sin, the home, poverty, sickness, and death, from the cradle to the grave, the answer is found in Mark chapter 5, in the person of Jesus. He stilled the storm, he healed the sick, and he raised the dead.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.